Excited to come at you with episode 342 on the Flip Empire Show, and my name's Alex Pardo.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Before we dive into today's masterclass expert interview, I want to let you know that this show is sponsored by Ascend, our in-house assembly of success-minded people, business owners, and entrepreneurs actively collaborating together to ascend our businesses to new heights while also experiencing truly happier, more fulfilling lives at the same time. We believe it's not an either-or, but you can truly have both and. It's the unique and rare combination of mastermind coaching and community that makes Ascend so special. But it's definitely not for everyone. If you're an entrepreneur who's looking for more than your typical mastermind or coaching, and you think these things can help you accelerate your ascension from where you are today to where you want to go, while living a more meaningful and rewarding life in the process, then you can head over to ascendyoursuccess.com, click the application button, and we'll go from there. What's up, my friends? I got a special episode for you here today with a close friend of mine and team member, Adrian Leal, who has been with our company since about 2014 or 15, I want to say. And, you know, he's elevated himself to our CEO as our COO and somebody who just brings a tremendous amount of brain power and value to our team. He is the perfect culture fit and is just so talented and so sharp. And someone who I've just come to become very, very close to throughout the years. One of the things that's really, really cool about Adrian is that, you know, he's probably one of the few people that has been able to be involved in a couple different businesses and do it successfully. So going back, Adrian, one of Adrian's unique abilities and just a foundational core skill set that he has is his ability to create systems and outsourcing and hiring and creating flow charts. And just, he's really, really sharp and good at looking at the business from a high level and then breaking it down, reverse engineering the process so that systems are put in the different departments in the business, and the guy's just a ninja when it comes to that. So going back to 2012, a good friend of his, Olga Fomenko, and him started a company essentially where they were, you know, sharing outsourcing information and essentially being the outsourcing arm for a lot of entrepreneurs. And that's evolved throughout the years. And, you know, today they have a service where they help mid-level entrepreneurs who are used to doing everything themselves or have just kind of gone through the ups and downs, the roller coasters of hiring and losing people and just the pain of dealing with turnover. Well, they're really, really sharp when it comes to, you know, creating the right systems in the business and then going through the outsourcing process and the hiring process, building a remote team the smart way, the right way. And so essentially on this particular episode, they're going to be redefining the concept of outsourcing. And so this is not an episode just about virtual assistants or anything like that. It's so much more than that. So having said that, I'm excited to introduce you to Adrian and Olga. This is actually Adrian's second time on the podcast. So make sure to check out his previous one. We'll link that up in the show notes. And without further ado, let's hop right into it. What's going on, my friends? Excited to bring you another masterclass episode here on the Flip Empire Show, where I have one of my closest friends, valued team member, somebody who I've come to know and love and been working with for over 5 years now, my boy Adrian and his business partner, Olga. I am excited to have you guys both on the podcast. What's going on, guys?
What's up, Alex?
Hello.
Man? How are you, Olga?
So good to be here.
It's good to see you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I think the first time we met, we were at the 10X Growth Con in Miami, right? At Marlins Stadium. And I have heard so much about you. Obviously, you and Adrian go way back. You know, you guys have provided a very valuable service to entrepreneurs. And I think one of the things that we really want to focus on today's podcast episode is about outsourcing and beyond. You know, what you guys need to know as investors and entrepreneurs before, during, and after you outsource. I think this is a topic that a lot of people talk about it, but people still struggle with you know, what do they need to outsource? How do they properly train and onboard somebody? And there's so many people that listen to the show that are in the process of building a team, starting a team, and yet they experience so much turnover and they're not really sure what they need to take off their plate, what they need to put on somebody else's plate, finding the right types of people. So Adrian, Olga, I want to kind of hit a pause here. Fill in the gaps. Talk about what we're going to be, if you can share what we're going to be talking about on the podcast today and why people, you know, tuning in right now need to listen and just pay close attention to what we're going to be discussing.
Definitely, man. And glad to be on again. And you guys are two of my favorite people in the world. So excited to do this one.
Thank you, buddy.
So I'll kick us off and then I'll turn it over to Olga to just let you know where this journey started. And it started a long time ago, I think back in 2013. But mostly what we want to focus on is, and outsourcing is the kind of the buzzword, right? Everyone, a lot of people want to figure out how to create more time in their business and essentially outsource a lot of the work that they do. But I think it goes well beyond that. And when we mention the word outsourcing, people tend to immediately go to the word VA, virtual assistant, or how can I get someone on the other side of the world to do things? And that's all part of it. But without the right foundation, you know, both before you even think about outsourcing, like you got to think about a lot of things in your business. And as entrepreneurs, we tend to, and real estate investors, your audience, Alex, tend to bypass a lot of that just to just keep going and just keep hustling. Mm-hmm. You do all that work before you even outsource. Then there's the outsourcing process, the physical act of hiring and you know, bringing someone on. And then after, which is ongoing, meaning the leadership component. It's all part of the equation, not just where can I find a virtual assistant. So that's what we want to talk about on this call. I'm going to turn it over to Olga a bit to share her thoughts.
Yep.
And you know, we're just chatting before the call, and I wanted to point out that you know, a lot of big names out there, they're talking about hustling, and that the only way to make money is to hustle. And while we do agree that hustling is totally necessary when you first get started, somehow they miss the point of they miss the fact that you actually have to stop hustling at some point and start to grow your team, start to treat your business as a business, not just like a solopreneur or a glorified freelancer. So that has become a really dear topic to us because we don't want to hustle. We want to do things the right way so we can grow and we can provide the value to the rest of the world or whatever our purpose is.
That's right. Yeah. And it's not you guys both bring up really good points. It's not just about working hard, but at some point, I think Olga, you mentioned something before we started recording that I wish we would have saved for this, but you said something along the lines is there needs to be a time limit on the hustle. Right. And I think what a lot of real estate investors and entrepreneurs do is they start, it's a transactional business. And so they go, and they're always fishing for the next deal, but they don't stop and take the 30,000 foot view and start, like, you know, what Michael Gerber talks about in the E-Myth. You gotta carve out some time to work on the business, not just in it. And so many people have a hard time getting off that hamster wheel. And basically what they do is they create a glorified, high paying job for themselves. And it's not a business because it starts and stops with them. And so what are some of the mistakes that you both have seen in working with entrepreneurs, working with investors? What are some of the mistakes you've seen them make when it comes to outsourcing? And again, I think the key distinction is a lot of people think about outsourcing as just getting something off your plate and hiring. But Adrian, you made the point that it's the whole equation, the gamut from the moment you decide you want to outsource something, figuring out what that is, finding the right person, onboarding them, training, the leadership component. I mean, it's all connected.
Man, where do we start? You know, in terms of what mistakes we've seen. And before we start, we've had a unique opportunity of working, you know, with clients and, you know, several entrepreneurs, not just in the real estate space. But before I pick on the experiences I've seen, let's start right here. And even Olga and I can share some experiences, but unique to this, to us talking, Alex, you and I have that unique perspective of working together in the real estate space since 2015. And well, at least, you know, me working directly with you. And we can pull in those experiences ourselves. And one of the biggest examples I mentioned earlier is a lot of people think that outsourcing again, I can find someone to do something, you know, at a fraction of the cost that I can do in the US, get someone to bring them to me and then give them a bunch of work and expect them to perform miracles. I think that covers like three different things, but we know that there are fantastic, and I don't believe there are any boundaries just because you're not in the US or they're maybe in the Philippines, in India, in, you know, Russia, it doesn't matter. People are people, they're human beings who have talents. It's up to you as a leader to figure out how to foster that talent. So the biggest misconception is thinking that someone, some agency, some hiring company, there's nothing wrong. There's fantastic agencies out there, but they're not just going to drop someone in your lap. Mm-hmm. And I think that people fall into one of three buckets. They've tried outsourcing and they've had a bad experience. They tried it and they've had a good experience, or they've never heard about it or believe it's only for the big companies, the AT&Ts, the GEs out there who do this on large scales. But I venture to say that the people who've tried it and had a good experience, luck does exist. You can have a virtual assistant for someone drop in your lap, but can you repeat that action? It's the things that you do again before, as you hire them, and after that make all the difference. So yeah. I know I kind of covered it in a generic sense, but
Yeah, and we'll drill down more for sure. Olga, do you have any thoughts or anything to add to what Adrian was just saying?
You know, it brings the memories of me just starting in the real estate space back in 2011, 2012. And everywhere I turned my head, everybody was saying, just do a deal. Like, this is like something that you hear at all real estate conferences, classes, meetups. People just say this over and over again, just do a deal. And you know, it wasn't until like 4 or 5 years into it, I realized that all I've been doing is I've been doing a deal. I haven't looked at it as a structure, as a system. And that really, really hurt me personally. So that's where I started to actually look into outsourcing and figuring out how can I actually get some leverage and get some help. So while I am with the seller at the appointment, my pipeline doesn't fall apart. Mm-hmm. And I think this is what a lot of people don't want to notice, is that you cannot possibly handle every single thing in your business. You do need help. Regardless how brilliant you are, regardless of how many hours you have in your day, even if it's 36 and you're super special, you still need help. And the sooner you understand it, the better.
Yeah. And you talked about, Olga, you know, the hustle mentality. It's like a badge of honor, right? It's glorified these days with a lot of well-known influencers that are amazing in their own right. And are super, just uber successful people and entrepreneurs. But people wear it as a badge of honor. And I don't know about you, but like, I got into this business not to hustle 24/7. And, you know, this business is supposed to provide for your lifestyle. It's supposed to provide for your team, your community. It's supposed to have an impact. Hopefully every business does have an impact and provides a valuable service. Talk to me about the key difference or distinction between, you know, at what point do you have to, you talked about putting a time limit on the hustle, which I love that idea. What's the starting point for people? Is it when balls start dropping? Is it when they feel like they're just, you know, they're burning both ends of the candle? They're just working more hours than they want to? Like, how do people go out and take stock or inventory of their own situation so that they can start to get the right help, start to build a team properly, and actually treat this like a business?
Well, in the ideal world, what was the best time to build a tree, right? 20 years ago. What's the best next best time? It's today. So I would say take an inventory of your time today, wherever you are with your business. And what we do is not a new concept, but we really love this concept of a time study. And we suggest doing a time study in increments of 15 minutes. It is going to drive you nuts, but set your alarm, let it go off every 15 minutes and document what you're doing during that time period. Mm-hmm. So at the end of even the first week, you'll see what kind of tasks are on your plate that are repetitive and can be done remotely. Those are your admin assistant, perhaps even overseas virtual assistant can do. There are things that can't be done remotely, and they may possibly be done by a local assistant. So that is the very, very first thing. Like, start taking inventory of your time today and start seeing what are those things that are not strategic and aren't growing your business per se, aren't bringing in money, but still need to be done, and look into outsourcing those things first.
Yep, got it. Adrian, anything to add to that?
And I couldn't agree more. I think one of the biggest things is understanding that time study that Olga talked about, and we've done it as well. Understand exactly how you're spending your time. You can sit and think, okay, I guess I had a busy day, but what were you really doing, right? And really being self-critical, it doesn't make any sense to cheat the process, right? If you spent 2 hours watching cat videos on Facebook, all right, write it down. No one else is going to see it. It's you. And I've heard that experience before becoming an entrepreneur. You know, I worked in corporate as a consultant, and I had to do timesheets. And I hated that. That's how they justify your billable hours and all that. Right. And I'll be the first to admit, I don't think my former boss, not that I care, is listening to your podcast, but I cheated the process.
I'm like, you never know. Kidding.
I know where she lives, Adrian.
She and I are still friends, so it's all good. But I cheated the process just because, right? And again, employee mindset. When it's your business, why are you going to cheat it? Why are you going to cheat the process? If you spent 3 hours goofing off, and maybe you didn't. The thing is that maybe you didn't realize it. And social media can be that time suck as well, but maybe didn't realize it. And then it reveals other things. Alex, you're a family man, right? And one of the things that's most important to you, which I admire so much, is family first. There's no question about it, right? But that being said, man, am I spending enough time with my family? That time sort of will reveal it. You write down, spent 2 hours playing with my daughters, right? Write it down. That's 2 hours. You know, and then maybe you look back and realize I only spent 10 minutes playing with my daughters in this week. Something's wrong here. So this goes well beyond business, but then the cumulative effect on figuring out how to correct those habits. And the most important thing is what Olga said. There are certain things that only you can do. And I want to bring this up because Olga and I have both, and again, we both started our entrepreneurial journey around the same time, you know, 2011-ish. And we quickly wanted to just outsource everything. And I think that's what we preached, just like outsource all the things. There's a meme, right? Like outsource everything. And then an interesting thing happened. I'm like, all right, well, years went by that I hadn't done any deals, right? So, okay, well, I had all these virtual assistants lined up. Alex, you know me. I'm a systems guy. I had my software, my CRM on point, you know?
Dialed in, yeah.
Dialed in. Best looking thing ever. How many deals have you done? And at that point in 2011, 2012, the answer was zero, and I was embarrassed to admit that. There is a balance, and that this brings it full circle into understanding what season you're in. So we're not bashing those well-known influencers who are talking about hustling. Hustling is important. It's very important. It's just about understanding what are the things that I have to be doing versus what are the, that you know need to be done, but can it be done a different way? So this goes many layers deep. To where it's not just about trying to get out of our businesses. And I'll close with, again, unique perspective, Alex, and I know you've been broadcasting this to the audience for especially the last year and a half, how many strides that you've made in your business, and I've been there with you on the journey, that, okay, we're never too big or successful to make the changes in our business. And it's not just about bringing people on. It's not just about shifting positions so you have more free time. There's days where you're in it. You're on the front lines in the battlefield with us, right? And there's times separate when you can't be there. It's the culture. It's everything you've put together, which includes a lot of outsourced components that have led to where we are. And it's a continuous effort. It's not something you set and forget.
Well, to correct you, it's everything we've put together, not me. But yeah, no. And just to piggyback on a few things that I think both of you said, I think, Adrian, it was you that said, you talk about busyness. And I recently, I was at an event and I heard the speaker say something that really just struck a chord with me. He said, busyness is the ultimate form of laziness. He said, busyness is the ultimate form of laziness. And when I started thinking about it, his point was that so often we tell ourselves a lie, aka a story, about being busy equates productivity. And oftentimes when you're busy, it doesn't necessarily mean you're productive. In fact, most of the time when you say, oh, I'm really, really busy, by going through that time, I think you called it a time, I call it a time study. I've called it a time audit in the past. That's going to ultimately reveal where you're spending your time and are those revenue generating tasks or are those tasks that, you know, give you happiness and fulfillment. Like playing with your kids is not a revenue generating activity, but if that's your priority, then show me your calendar. So often people tell me, hey, this is what's most important in my life. And then I say, okay, well, let me look at your calendar. And it's the exact opposite. And I think going through some of these exercises, being very self-aware is just critical to your success. Whether we're talking about outsourcing, hiring, or anything else in between, you got to be self-aware and you got to invest the time to figure out, you know, you only get 24 in a day. You know, people have often told me, you know, time is probably the most valuable commodity that you can ever get. It's not money. Money can be made, lost, gained, won. Time, you can't get back. You know, the 24 comes and then the, you know, the cycle starts all over again and you can't just take it for granted that you're going to be here to have that time. Right. So, people go through this process. What's the next step from there? You know, the people listening right now, they get it. They understand that they can't grow a business by themselves. Otherwise it's not truly a business. What's the next step for people that are feeling overwhelmed, even though those that are listening that have a team, but yet it just, something's not clicking. Right. And Adrian, we've been there, right? Where it's just, it feels like you're swimming upstream. What's the next step?
So I'll take part one to the next step and then I'm going to hand them all over to Olga. So there's one more piece in the before I want to cover and then we'll tackle the next step in terms of, okay, well, I've made a decision that I need to outsource or I need to, you know, keep it in-house or whatever the case may be. The next piece is you do your time study, you figure out what's important. And this piece is so important. It doesn't have anything directly to do with the topic of outsourcing. But do you have a firm grasp on your numbers? If you're a solopreneur, okay, well, how much money are you bringing in? How much money are you coming out? How much money do you have been saving to spend? Because, yes, I think the beauty of outsourcing by definition, and I go past the definition of outsourcing that it means in another country. I know what the definition means, but you know, we have a virtual team. Is, you know, we live in Miami, Alex, you and I, and if I found someone in California that does the job well, you know, by definition, it's not outsourcing, but it is. Either way, you have to have a certain budget set aside because if, you know, even if it's relatively more cost effective, it's still money that you have to spend weekly, monthly, that you have to budget in. And Are you doing kind of willy-nilly, right? So understanding your numbers, and this is the most important thing, and I've learned these lessons from abandoning the rules of business. I think entrepreneurs, especially real estate investors, tend to think the rules of business don't apply to us. And I say especially real estate investors being one because our widgets are $5,000, $10,000, $100,000. So it tends to mask the deficiencies that we have in business and we kind of thumb our noses at people who've gone to business school. These principles are sound. You don't have to have an MBA to get it done. How much money is coming in? How much is going out? And do I have the budget necessary to hire who I need. So I'll hand it over to Olga here, but if you've come to the decision that, all right, you have, and we, you know, ironically, we had a conversation just this past weekend with someone who's in a position where he has just like ridiculous amount of budget to be able to hire whoever he wants, but there's a false belief that, okay, well, I don't want to spend the money, right? You have the money to be able to outsource. Conversely, let's just say you have no money or you're operating in the red. We're not going to say that you should outsource or hire. You probably shouldn't because you don't have the money. But that could shed light on the fact that you probably can't afford not to. The reason why you're probably going into the red or breaking even, is because you're doing everything yourself. And then there's, like you said, 24 hours in a day. Your marriage is suffering. Your health is suffering. And you just keep bumping up against the ceiling. You need to figure something out.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you want to say anything on that. But.
Right. And before we transition over to Olga, I think what comes to mind is, and we're not going to dive into this because people know this, is just what's your time worth, right? Going through that other exercise of really placing a dollar amount on what your time is worth, and anything that you're spending that's less than what you're worth should arguably be outsourced, right? At least my belief is, and that's I've always operated with that mentality. So Olga, you were going to say something?
Well, a couple things here. First, I wanted to, you know, to piggyback on that conversation about budget and say that I am super guilty of not keeping the right track of it for a very, very long time. And it wasn't until Adrian really, really started to enforce this in our business that I realized how important it is to have somebody who understands and actually wants to understand those numbers. Because as entrepreneurs, first of all, a lot of times what we hear is that, you know, it's I think Kiyosaki's concept that A students work for C students, and that if somebody did well in school, they're going to be horrible entrepreneurs and they're going to come work for us. And, you know, I adapted that mindset that, oh, that's great that I quit school. So, you know, I used this excuse because, you know, the Kiyosakis of the world didn't go to school. But it wasn't until I actually saw it in the business that you can't do business without business principles. You can't do business without accounting. You can't do business without understanding your budget. And your meetups and your quick get rich quick videos on YouTube aren't going to talk to you about it. So it is super important to have somebody on your team, have a great accountant, or have a family member, or have somebody on your team who can advise you to look at your budget seriously and not just from deal to deal perspective. And because like in real estate, you get those chunks of money, 5K, 10K, and you go until the fuel is out. And then next thing you know, your business is struggling. Sure. So if you want to bring on team members, you're going to be responsible for feeding other families, and you cannot not pay them. Like you cannot pay yourself. But even that is wrong. Like we've been through this way too often that we do have to pay ourselves, and especially our team members have to be paid and feed their families. So, yeah.
No, I want to highlight something that you said, and I'll kind of rephrase it. It's a big responsibility when so oftentimes people associate and tie the word outsource to a virtual assistant. Whether that's wrong or right is a different conversation, but don't think just because you can hire cheap labor that you don't have the responsibility as the entrepreneur, as the leader of your business, to make sure that that person is taken care of. And you got to put them in a position to succeed. And that's a responsibility every time you choose to outsource something to someone else. They're providing a really, really valuable service. And I think oftentimes investors, because virtual assistants, it's known that it's relatively cheap labor depending on where you're hiring them from. So, yeah, I think I've heard people say, oh, if it doesn't work out, I'll just cut them, or I'll just let them go, or I'll just fire them, or I'll just find another one. And I think that's the wrong approach. That's the wrong mentality to have. And I think, I don't know if it was on the podcast or before we started recording, Adrian, you know, one of our virtual assistants, who I believe Olga introduced us to years, has been with us for years, and we don't treat her any different than we do, you know, myself. Like we all treat each other the same because we're valued team members and we care about each other. And that, I think that speaks to more of just the culture of the team, the leadership on the team, the types of individuals you have. But no, Olga, you definitely bring up some good points. Where do people, for somebody listening that says, I got it, I hear you loud and clear, I'm juggling, I'm wearing all the hats, balls are dropping. Is it a virtual assistant? Is it a local assistant? Because to me, when I hear outsourcing, I don't automatically think VA. You know, you could outsource something, in my opinion, and it could be somebody in your city locally. Who is it? Who's that first hire, that second hire? When we think outsourcing, who does that have to be?
So I'm going to let Olga answer this, but what I'll say really quickly is it really depends on what you need, right? But one of the most important things is if nothing else, if all else fails, like it's just you or just, you know, you and a small team that you have, The first person that you're going to need to hire is more of an admin or an executive assistant, because if you don't have one, then you are that person. Right? But I know, speaking to a real estate crowd, it's different, because maybe you're in a position to where maybe you do have a local assistant and maybe you need something else. So I know it's tough to kind of put those hires into different buckets, but I'm going to let Olga share her thoughts in terms of three major kind of departments that we feel that you should be looking for, especially as a real estate investor.
Okay.
Well, first of all, I want to go back to time study for a second, or time audit, Alex, because that will show you where you're spending time the most and what you have to do, what you have to outsource ASAP. But in terms of the three buckets, and I think that the main role, like Adrian said, is an admin assistant that you should be looking at as soon as possible. And that admin assistant, I'll go as far as to say that it could be pretty much like an executive assistant or project manager. It's somebody with that brain, with that qualities, that can actually help you with pretty much everything, that is capable to think like you, run the same speed with you, and learning on the job and basically grasping any concepts that you have to be implementing as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. So then the second person may be your caller assistant, and again, in real estate industry, what we see happening a lot is people thinking that because it's an overseas assistant, they can be like Adrian said, cheap, which is huge. Mistake, because like the better quality of a person you're looking for, like the more you have to be prepared to pay. Obviously, somebody skilled is going to know their value. So if somebody charging you $5 an hour and has never, but because they have never done phone calls, but they're saying that they're comfortable on the calls, and next thing you know, you have roosters in the background and they can't even read the script, ask me how I know this story, right?
Yeah. Like, I think Adrian and I are both laughing TPAs. Because, yeah, trust me, we get it. We're both laughing because you get what you pay for sometimes. I mean, it's kind of the analogy of like, if you need to have open heart surgery, are you going to find the cheapest doctor if you don't have insurance? You know, it's some things you don't want to like be cheap on, and Olga, you're 100% right. You know, you got to pay for skilled people. Every now and then I think you can get lucky and find quality skilled people at quote unquote cheaper labor. But generally speaking, if you're in this for the long haul and for the long run, don't try to cut corners is what I would say.
Especially with the people who interact with your leads, like your leads are the ones that are going to make or break your business. You better have trusted people on those phone calls on your behalf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Adrian, what are your thoughts, man, on, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I just wanted to bring up real quick the third role that, I think is really important in the business as well. And that is social media experts. With our today's world, that is a totally different set of skills that maybe admin assistant doesn't possess. We definitely don't expect it of the caller. But social media is something that you absolutely need to be on. And if you don't understand it, then you need a team member that will understand it and will be willing to spend a ton of time and effort on it, because social media changes daily.
And I want to add to that too, and I'll circle back to the, because I think I know what question you're going to ask me about the callers, but the social media one, and this is something from even from 2013-14, and we came across where, okay, well, the concept of hiring a virtual assistant, okay, that's one thing. Then you think that person can do miracles. Remember I told you what the first myth is, that people think that they just do miracles, right? So now you're a real estate investor, you need someone to answer the phones, Oh, yeah, you know something? I need someone to help me with my Facebook page. Okay, I'll have him or her do it as well. Oh, yeah, you know something? I want her to do research for me as well. And I want her... Listen, like, can one person have the superpowers to do everything? Sure, that exists, you know, but what are their strengths? In this business, there are certain aspects that I like doing and there are certain aspects that I don't like doing. It doesn't mean that I'm not good at the things I don't like doing, mm-hmm. but are you setting up your team for success? And really early on, and Alex, I think this may even speak to some pain points that we have in the real estate business, that cracking the social media world is a little bit different. That may be a whole other podcast or, you know, regarding how to interact with buyers and sellers. But at the same time, just expecting somebody that you have on your team just because, you know, they're a millennial maybe and they'll figure it out. No, mm-hmm. it's something that's a role in and of itself. That can take a lot of time in terms of how you find them, engaging with buyers and sellers or customers or whoever on Instagram. And it's not just something that's just done just because it's supposed to be done. So that's something that we highlighted as an important bucket, not just for real estate investors, but any entrepreneur who's really trying to leverage social media to improve their business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. I totally get where you're coming from. And I think that's an area that we could definitely do better within our business, just to be totally upfront there. And I'm with you. You've actually kind of given me a few ideas as I'm listening to both of you speak. Resources, best places to hire, you know, admin assistants, callers, virtual assistants, social media experts. Do you guys have any resources or websites, tools, anything that you might be able to share with the audience that can help them?
Well, first of all, before you even go for hiring, make sure that you have a great job description, right? Because regardless of where you're going, what site you're using, if you don't have a good understanding of the task that person is going to perform, they're most likely not going to succeed. And I know there are some great resources within the real estate world that Alex, you also recommend. So I think IBAS is very experienced and has a good name in the industry. But in terms of an executive assistant, like if you are looking for a local person, I would even say start with your personal social media profile and put the job description on your personal social media profile and let your friends and family see that and let them recommend people, because if they care about you, they know what you've been doing, they may know the exact person. With that, I also have a little rule. Don't ever hire somebody that you can't fire. So while you are letting your friends and family see that you're looking for that person, don't ever go for like your girlfriend or whatever.
Something tells me that you have personal experience.
She's gonna kill you.
Yeah.
Well, actually, not specifically to that, but even beyond this, and again, it's great. It's even better when this stuff actually comes from experience. And when one of the easiest ways, so it's not to say that you don't put it out in your personal social media or within your personal network, ask for referrals. I believe strongly in that. But then just think heavily if you ask someone to refer someone to you, right? And we had a situation where we've actually asked someone on our team to refer, and of course we're always going to take it in, but at the same time, that, you know, if that person, and it wasn't, but if, let's just say that person was that person's best friend or very close person, right? Eventually, at the end of the day, everyone's evaluated separately. If that person has to go, there's just the fact that you're going to end up firing or letting someone go, that someone's best friend, that someone's brother, that someone's, you know, daughter or something, it's tough. So I think it's just one of those unsaid rules. Right.
Yeah.
But hire for the talent, hire for the talent, and hire for the culture fit, which I know you espouse like a lot. So more importantly than the resources, we can rattle off a lot of resources. I mean, you can find great resources on Upwork, and there's a lot of laundry lists. We can probably give you that for maybe the show notes. But the most important thing is wherever you find them, whether it's Craigslist, whether it's your Facebook page, whether it's Upwork, whether it's Indeed, you know, whether it's the agency down the street who's, you know, you have to be able to have your hiring process buttoned up. Know who you're looking for. Know your non-negotiables. There are certain key tips. So it's not just about getting a resume. And Olga likes to use the word resume as, I guess, words on paper. Everyone lies on their resume. It's important so that we factor the skill portion in. But you also need to think through, like, customize the job application that you're having someone send to you. Don't just copy and paste. And we'll be happy to share those resources. It helps get you a framing, get the framing right for it. But think through what you're going to ask them on the interview, you know, and then ask them to submit a video to you, like, especially virtual. We're going right back to outsourcing. But even if you're hiring in your market, the first interaction is going to be someone looking into their webcam or their phone talking to you. That can influence your decision as opposed to the resume. This person looks great. You pop them on camera and instantly this is somebody that's going to spend, you know, 40 plus hours a week with you. Do you want to, or in your business, is this somebody that espouses the values of your company? And then you honor the interview process no different than if you're hiring someone locally. Same exact process. Yeah. And
it's such a good point, because I think the more time you can spend without completely punting or procrastinating on outsourcing and hiring someone, but the more thoughtful you can be about the job ad, the hiring process, the onboarding process, setting them up for success, the better you're going to put yourself and that particular person and your business ultimately in a position to succeed. Man, Adrian, I don't know if you remember this, man, when you and I started working together, actually even before we started working together, man, I had made a ton of mistakes when it came to hiring. And I remember the first time I put a job ad, I spent the next 72 hours just looking at resumes. And I 3 days later, I felt like an idiot. I'm like, I just created another job for myself because I had no hiring system, no process. It was just an ad, send me a resume, and it was just a complete nightmare. So be thoughtful and purposeful about the hiring process, the ad. Like, don't just grab somebody's ad online or Google something or grab something from another real estate investor, which is so common in our space, right? To just copy and paste and leverage each other's tools and resources, which is cool. I've done it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I haven't, but take the time to customize it based on your business, who you're looking for, because a couple things. You need to look at yourself and say, am I the type of person that somebody's going to want to work for and with? Do I have the type of culture, the core values, et cetera, that the person that I would ideally want to attract is going to want to work inside of, right? Is that the type of environment? And if not, then you have some work to do internal. You have some before. And that speaks to when we talk about outsourcing and beyond, that's why it's the before, during, and after. It's all, I think, Adrian, you said it, it's all connected. The equation is all, it's all pieces of the puzzle. You know, imagine if I bought a puzzle at Walmart and I took off 50 pieces and I gave it to you, like, you're going to have an incomplete puzzle. It's just going to look weird. It's not going to fit. And that's kind of the first analogy that came to mind. It's probably a really bad one.
I'd figure it out.
But in all seriousness, I mean, I think this, you know, to some people listening, this might not be a super sexy topic, but it's so important. It's so critical, because if you really want to grow and operate a business, this is like foundational stuff. You know, you can't, I think Olga, you said it, you can't do it alone. Unless you just plan on being a small operator and it's more of a lifestyle business for you, quote unquote. But now that we've talked about the before, we talked about the job ad, we've talked about the hiring system and the process. And I don't think this is the podcast to get into like the nitty gritty of that. You know, we've talked about that in other shows. I do want to talk about, you know, one of the questions that I wanted to ask is, how involved should you be with your virtual assistant, your executive admin assistant? When you bring them on board, how closely connected do you need to be with this person?
So I think we can both touch on this. And before I answer that question, you mentioned something just now that unless you want to, you know, be like a lifestyle entrepreneur, and I beg to differ greatly, because that lifestyle entrepreneur needs those outsourcing components, needs to be able, like, how are you going to have that lifestyle if you don't have that in place?
So no doubt.
Bring that up. But yep. How involved should you be? And I guess, so we talked about the before, the during, which is the hiring process, and then after. The big reveal here is that it's no different than how you run your current team. So again, does it say that you have to be involved with them 8 hours in a day? No, I mean, that's not setting yourself up for success, right? So you've got the perfect person, you've identified what they need to do. You need to hire well and lead them even better, right? And I love that this is you're the perfect person to be talking to about this, because this, you know, if there was nothing, you know, if you're not known for anything else, if you're not a real estate investor, if you're not, you know, all that you do for the Flip Empire and your audience, the culture is something, and you've said this so many times, the culture of your team is the thing that you're most proud of, right? Mm-hmm. Of our team, Alex. And Olga and I, we have a team as well. And you have to setting up the culture and set the systems in place to where you're not just hiring someone, be it a virtual assistant or something else, expecting mm-hmm. them to do the job and then checking in with them once a week or once a month and not mm-hmm. involved. There are times where you have to be more involved. I believe in having daily huddles, which Alex, again, we do in the real estate space, but daily huddles are important, 12 to 15 minutes, touching base with a very structured agenda. Weekly mm-hmm. meeting where you're involved with your team. But most importantly, there needs to be a very consistent cadence with communication with your team. And then beyond that, there's weeks where maybe you do need to hop on a Zoom call with them for 2 hours to knock something out or discuss a new SOP or whatever direction you need to go. Open communication. You need to be involved with your staff with the right cadences in place. Yep. Olga, to add to that.
Well, I wanted to add, like you already said, that daily interactions are obviously super important. And I know that you and Alex have your daily huddles and we have our daily meetings with our team as well. But besides that, I also wanted to point out that we're constantly available through Slack, through Voxer, and it's so important to be available to your team that early on, I started to work with virtual assistants, I was like, okay, well, you train them once and then they just run with it. And at the end of the week, you check it and you get pissed that it wasn't done the right way.
Yeah.
Well, in order to not get pissed that it wasn't done the right way, you check in daily, you course correct, you train and make sure that the people that are hired to do the job understand what their job is. And with that, one of our team members said this once, and I'm going to quote. She said that one of the biggest reasons she loves to work with us is that they don't get micromanaged, but they do get empowered to do their best and go out of their way to over-deliver for the team and for the company. And I think that is that is something to be proud of. And I would definitely want to keep our company culture in that way. And I would totally want to see more entrepreneurs doing it with their teams as well.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And that's a whole separate beast of a show. And I mean, just about that speaks to leadership and so much more. But I feel like I'm not doing, people listening any justice, because this is there's so much to cover here, right? And I feel like we're just starting to scratch the surface as we start to kind of wind down the show here. And hopefully what we have done is open people's eyes up to just some of the things they need to think through before they start to outsource and hire, some of the systems and processes they need to have in place, rather than just kind of do a shotgun approach like I did, 7-8 years ago when I started building a team. Anything that I haven't asked you, or anything that we haven't covered, to kind of wrap up the show, that people need to really think through, consider, anything. And let's kind of focus more specifically for real estate investors, because obviously that's the primary of the audience that listens to the show. They're real estate investors. For those people that are starting out, have a team, even the experienced savvy investors that are doing hundreds of deals a year, are there any tweaks, suggestions, modifications they can make when it comes to hiring, whether it's before, during, or even after?
I think the most important thing, and I keep saying it, it's no different than hiring or leading your team locally. So if you're listening to this podcast right now, and perhaps you have an outsourced team, perhaps you have a completely local team, perhaps it's just you, right? And you realize that, okay, well, there's something that it'll cast a light on something else that's going on in your business. If you can be mm-hmm. honest with yourself, realize that, I closed 5 deals this last month, But I had to be, you know, working it tooth and nail every day until 10 p.m., waking up at 5, hustling to get it done. Nothing wrong. Like, kudos to you, man, because that's what it takes. Or that's a valuable trait to not miss out on. But is that something you want to do every single day, right? And if that's the, if that's what you love doing, great. Then don't listen to what we're saying. But if it's something that you realize that, okay, I've gotten there, I've fallen back, it casts a light on the fact that perhaps I need to be doing some things differently. So, you know, hopefully, and again, I guess hopefully we're providing a lot of value to your audience here, but some of these examples, some of these time studies, there's lots of resources that we have that we'd be happy to share with you as well. And you just look at it differently. Change the mindset of, you know, if you've tried outsourcing before and it hasn't worked, okay, well, figure out why it hasn't worked. If you think it was a one-hit wonder that you got, you can't find it. Just think about it. There's always reasons for it. And what I really want to do is help, you know, real estate investors and entrepreneurs just think things through. Think it through every step of the way. You got to think through a deal when you're trying to close it. Think through what's happening in your team. And as great as an Alex, our team culture is fantastic. But just, you know, last month, you know, you challenged the status quo. Hey, listen, it's not as great as maybe we're on an A-plus level all the time that a B-plus seems like an F, right? It's cast a light. What can I do differently? And it's no different than when you're outsourcing. Maybe you need to change how you hired and onboarded this person. Maybe you need to change your leadership style. That's the biggest takeaway that I hope people get, especially real estate investors, that just because something didn't work before, there's a reason for it. And hopefully we're giving a few nuggets here to kind of reframe and rewire how you're thinking about not just outsourcing the word, but essentially leading and building your team locally or abroad.
I love that. Absolutely love that. You know I do, man. You're speaking my language. So Olga, do you have any parting thoughts on as it relates to that? And then I want to actually test and try something different. I don't want to call it a lightning round or anything like that, but it's going to be something somewhat similar. It's going to kind of be a little bit rapid fire here as we start to wrap this up. And I've never done this, but I figure you guys are the perfect ones to be the guinea pigs. So Olga, do you have anything to sprinkle on top of what Adrian said? Or?
Yeah, you know, I'm a girl, so I do get emotional about stuff. And, you know, one thing that a realization that came to me a few months ago that really, really hit me. And I just wanted to bring this up to your attention and to the attention of the listeners. You know, the people, when you bring on somebody to work for you and they spend 8 hours, 10 hours in your business, sometimes even more, sometimes as entrepreneurs and people that work for us, they spend even 12, 16 hours working in the business, and they may be like in the shower, but thinking about what's the next step, how to provide more value. Just think about the fact that they are investing their life in your business. How much do you own these people in return for their life? Can you go an extra mile to meet with them daily? Can you go an extra mile to make sure that they are successful in what they're doing? So that's just my little emotional cherry.
All right, beautiful guys. So are you ready for the, I insert another word for fast, quick lightning, because I don't want to use those words here, but we're going to go rapid fire here, I guess is what I'll call it. Flip Empire, rapid fire. I'm going to put Adrian on the spot. So Adrian's going to go first. He's going to answer, and then I'm going to go to Olga. But I do have the option of digging a little bit deeper and asking a follow-up question if I so choose. Okay?
Hey, it's your podcast. Your
okay.
Room. Let's do it.
Okay, beautiful. Ready? I'm going to start you off easy and quick. And this will be just a handful of things. Nothing big here. Adrian, the book that's had the biggest impact on your life is?
3 Feet from Gold.
Olga, the book that's had the biggest impact on your life is?
Expert Secret.
What is it?
Expert Secret.
Oh, Expert Secrets, Russell Brunson. Got it. If you were an animal, what would you be and what would the noise be?
Oh, okay. So two questions. Easy answer, shark.
Okay, what noise would you make as a shark?
You wouldn't hear it because, yeah, I'm a shark.
You wouldn't hear anything happen. I'll let you off. Olga, if you were an animal, what would you be?
I would be a cat. A big one.
And what would be the noise or sound you would make as a cat? All right, beautiful, beautiful. Adrian, what's the one piece of advice you would share with the 20-year-old Adrian?
Ooh, that's a good one. Don't overthink everything. Don't overthink everything.
Okay. Olga, one piece of advice you'd share with your younger self?
Believe in yourself. You can do it.
Absolutely love it. Positive, inspirational message. Love it. Adrian, what's dominating your thoughts these days?
Impact. The word impact. Making an impact.
You know that resonates with me, my man. So, Olga, I feel like I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to have Olga go first in the next one because she's getting a little bit of a... She's getting like 30 seconds to think about it. But what's dominating your thoughts these days?
Oh my gosh, I'm not going to say anything new. Impact, same thing. Like it's
that's
what's on my mind.
Fair
How
enough.
How do I make more of that?
Fair enough. Olga, when did you start working with your first coach or mentor? And what's the one thing you learned from them?
The very first time when I knew that was my mentor, it was 2011. And what I learned was that I can actually have those things in life that I once dreamed of, but thought that I didn't belong.
Got it. Adrian?
For me, it was 2010. And what I remember was taking action. I'm drastically different we're recording this in 2019 than I was in 2009, 2010. I thought I was pretty awesome back then. I think I was, but I have actively reinvented myself and without losing yourself in the process, if that makes sense, because a lot of people try to be something they're not. I wanted to be something more than I was 10 years ago, but at the same time, don't do it if it's going to make you, like there are certain core principles about yourself that makes you you. Mm-hmm. So evolve to become something else while still maintaining your uniqueness.
I like that. Last two for you. Olga, in 10 seconds or less, what is the best tip you can give people listening about outsourcing, hiring, building a team, etc.?
Don't wait. Do your time study and start getting ready to do it now.
Beautiful.
No reason to wait.
Okay. Adrian?
So I'm going to give two answers to that. One, understand your business. Know your numbers. Don't cheat. Don't cheat yourself or your business. And number two is do not underestimate the value of leadership and building the culture. If nothing else, if your business makes no money, you got a good team culture, that'll come.
Damn, that's good. I almost wish I could end the show here, but I got to ask one final question. It's going to be an easy one. Hopefully, what is your favorite podcast out there today? Favorite podcast? If you could only subscribe and listen to one podcast, what will it be? I'm like,
this will dictate whether this gets aired or not, right? So. Okay, Olga.
It's good to say kind of your friends.
We'll go 3, 2, 1 and we'll say it. 3, 2, 1.
Okay.
1. Flip Empire.
All right, guys. Hey, I appreciate
you went
you guys.
First.
I appreciate you guys both being a good sport. Notice how I'm not even letting Olga answer that question because I'm just going to assume it. I'm kidding. But no, thanks for playing.
I'm familiar with way more episodes on Adrian, so I'll claim that. I've been listening to this podcast for way longer.
He has been. I speak to you every day, Alex, so sometimes I forget to listen to your episodes, but don't hold that against me.
I get
but
it.
But I do want to...
Expose.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Adrian, yeah, man. I think one of the things I was trying to ask you before the audio got cut off is you guys offer a free checklist for virtual assistants. You want to briefly talk about that and let people know how they can connect with both of you? Because I know both of you offer a valuable service. And so if people want to just connect with both of you, find out more about what you guys are doing, or if they just want to get their hands on this checklist, where do they go? How do they reach you?
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, so what we can, we're happy to provide this to the audience here is a VA hire checklist. And as simple as that sounds, sometimes, like I'm someone who, if I can see the process in terms of what needs to be done and be guided along it, because as this podcast has gone on, I think what we've kind of demonstrated that it's not just about, you know, finding the agency, give me a VA and let's go. That is one part of a multi-part process. You can go to outsourcingandbeyond.com/checklist, and it's free. It's a free download. Hopefully it's useful. It's not just a checklist. There's a lot of valuable information we're providing in there. So that's outsourcingandbeyond.com/checklist. And you can also connect with us on our Facebook group called Outsourcing Secrets. Again, a free Facebook group. I'll let Olga talk more about it, but we're giving a lot of free, we're showing up in their live multiple times a week, and there's a lot of free resources in that group as well that, you know, it's not just for real estate investors, but for entrepreneurs in general who are just used to hustling and are trying to get out of that. I realize that hustling alone is not going to get them to where they're going.
Yep. Beautiful. All right, guys.
Yeah, you kind of covered it all, but I just wanted to say thank you, Alex, for, you know, having us here and brainstorming a couple things that I took note of too. So I'm looking forward to hear this podcast airing so I can take those notes as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Listen, I really I appreciate and admire both of you, Adrian. You know, man, I've had the good fortune of not just working side by side with you for 5 years or so now, but just you becoming a big part of my life, a big friend. And Olga, I've heard so many great things about you. I see why. And I love what both of you are doing. Thank you for, you know, for wanting to impact and for the content that you've provided today. I know it's going to connect with a lot of people listening and just know that you're helping them. So thank you both. And yeah, that guys definitely, obviously thank you. Without you, the show wouldn't exist. Everything that we included will be in the show notes page, including the URLs, the resources. Definitely head over and get that free VA checklist. And I really look forward to connecting with you on the next show. Any parting words or thoughts before we wrap this bad boy up?
I guess what Alex says.
Exactly. No, thank you again. Thanks again. It's an honor to be on the podcast again, Alex, and hopefully we provide a lot of value. And otherwise, you know, you wouldn't have invited us on. So appreciate being here, man. And
all right. Yeah. Looking forward to the next one. Thank you, guys.
All right. Take care.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.